Not ready? Too bad. Head back, face forward, and hold on like you mean it.
Hello and welcome to Review Time's Theme Park Cast. This is a weekly show where we discuss all the ins and outs of attractions and parks from around the world. This week we look into our crystal ball and discuss all the things that should hopefully open in theme parks around the world in 2021. My name is Luke, and joining me today is the man whose New Year's resolution is to stop procrastinating, one he plans on starting tomorrow. It's my Review Time co-host, Dominic Lacey.
Look, you told me to do some research on this topic. I ended up just stealing all of the show notes from last week's episode of Review Time that we made, and that works for me.
Which I did the research for, so yeah, good work.
Yeah,
look, it's the most trustworthy source.
I will eventually get to not procrastinating, but I just haven't got around to planning it. So yeah, one day.
You'll get there eventually, right? But this week's episode, we are looking, as we said, into the crystal ball. We're going to look at what should, in theory, open in 2021. We're going to talk about what our opinions are on it. And then our hope is for the very last episode of the year, we're actually going to go back, listen to this episode, and see what we were right about, what we were wrong about, and maybe what we're still waiting to open until 2022.
Look, compared to, you know, 2020, all of the plans that we had and all of the plans that the whole theme park industry had, I won't be surprised if we end up looking back on 2021 and being like, whoa, that was a year. I don't think it's going to be as doom and gloom as 2020. I feel like we've sort of got things under control to a degree. But in that sense, I don't think it's going to be that, you know, that turning of a corner that everyone thinks it is. I think we're still on the straight. It's just the fog is somewhat lifted, if that makes sense.
I think we'll see some we'll see definitely. I'm going to go out and say we'll see more exciting things open this year in 2021 than opened last year in 2020.
100%, yeah.
Because there was like three exciting things that opened around the world in 2020, and we already know
Vortex
of a huge thing.
At SeaWorld.
Woohoo!
One ride!
Which, like, even just in, what, a month's time, we get the Super Nintendo World opening. So that's like one thing that probably trumps anything that opened in 2020, unless you count Rise of the Resistance at Disneyland, but it did open in 2019 at Walt Disney World. So it doesn't quite count.
Yeah, no, that doesn't count. It's kind of like saying that, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean came out in the last 25 years, which I have no idea when it opened at any other parks, but you know, Tokyo and all that, there are lots of different versions, but it's kind of
sure,
like,
it was an opening day attraction at Tokyo. I think every park that it opened in, apart from the Magic Kingdom, it was an opening day attraction, and Disneyland obviously.
And then
meant to have pirates.
Yeah.
And all the guests came in and they were like, time to ride this ride we've heard so much about. Wait, where's all the Pirates of the Caribbean? So that's why their version is so much shorter, because it wasn't even meant to be there. It was just kind of crammed in to appease the guests.
Well, that's one of the interesting things about the Disney theme parks experience, is that everyone goes to all of the different ones and they're like, oh, why is this one so similar to the other Magic Kingdom style theme parks? But the thing that they've found is that people get more frustrated the more different the experience is. Like, look at people who go to Hong Kong Disneyland. There's plenty of amazing original attractions there, but they're like, where's Pirates? Where's Splash Mountain? Where are
where's
all of these
Mansion?
You know, these attractions that are synonymous with the Disney experience? Disney is sort of in a lose-lose situation there, because if they do something original, then they have to pass on something traditional, which is going to make both crowds very angry.
Which, if you look at Shanghai Disneyland, kind of the iconic rides that it opened with, what you'd expect from Disney, weren't really the big ones. You know, they didn't open with a Space Mountain. It didn't open with a Haunted Mansion. It didn't open with a traditional Pirates. It did a plus one of Pirates, or plus 10, honestly. But then the other stuff that are open with you'd expect were just, you know, like little dark rides like Peter Pan's Flight or Winnie the Pooh.
I think that's like it's a more clever way of doing it at Shanghai, because that way then you go there and you're like, I want to ride their version of Space Mountain. Yeah. And I think they try and do that at Hong Kong. You know, you've got their version of Big Thunder Mountain with the Grizzly Peak and their version of Haunted Mansion. But still,
which is better,
you
in
still
my
have
opinion.
To have some of those go backs.
Yeah. Which I guess this is coming from someone who's, you know, lucky enough to have visited multiple of them and
save up to go to
as many as I can. I like the differences in the parks. I don't want every park to feel exactly the same, which is why it's a shame. Nowadays, everything seems to be designed with at least two, if not more, parks in mind. Like Frozen Land, you know, it was designed-ish at Epcot, but then it's going to Hong Kong and Hollywood Disney Studios Paris. Galaxy's Edge is going to both the US parks and then a smaller version to Disney Studios Paris. Pretty much everything, even Runaway Railway, is also going to Disneyland as well as Disney's Hollywood Studios, which makes sense. Like, you get to split development costs between the parks, but it is removing that uniqueness that we used to see.
Yeah, even though, like, there was a period where everything was really unique, but when they originally opened, they weren't unique, and then now they're not unique either. So it's sort of like a bell curve where they went up and then they're down. So maybe
it's
in
like
the next 20 years. Yeah.
So who knows?
What are some of the things coming to theme parks in 2021 for our listeners to listen to?
I think the biggest one, and it's going to go ahead no matter what, like, it can't not go ahead. Is just how big it is going to be the question. I'm sure we'll discuss. I wish. But Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary, 50 years of Walt Disney World, celebrating on the 1st of October this year, will be its official 50th birthday. Mm. From what I'm hearing, the 50th celebration will probably start around then, and then we'll run into the early months of 2023. Which is their kind of way. So that's about an 18-month celebration, which is nowadays what the celebrations kind of seem to be. They kind of try to get two big holiday periods in. So it'll get the Christmas period in 2021 as well as the Christmas period in 2022. And then when it starts to slow down a bit, it will peter out in 2023. Apparently, it was meant to start for summer of 2021, but with everything going on and projects being delayed, it's had to be pushed back, which you can't really push it any later than its actual 50th birthday. So it makes sense to start around then.
Well, I think it's also that thing where I feel like a lot of holidays and people's decisions on holidays as well rotates around an 18-month cycle. Like, you never sort of go beyond that. And I think that way they can capture, if someone's already booked that 18 months, then they can get into the next. Or if someone hasn't booked it, then they're within that 18-month block so that people can be like, all right, let's make a trip to Walt Disney World.
And I don't know if this is what's going to happen, but here's what it feels like to me. Feels like they may push something brand new for the 50th every 3 or so months during it. Looking at timelines of what's expected. So things that we know should be open by the 50th surely would be Ratatouille, which is the brand new trackless dark ride at Epcot. It's a version of the ride from Disney Studios Paris. From what I've heard, that ride has pretty much been ready to go for almost a year at this point.
Whoa.
It was meant to open up of summer of 2020. And it didn't, obviously. They were closed for a period and all of that. And now, from what I'm hearing, it's like they're just say it could open in a week, but they're saving it until there's a reason to open it, to drag people in. And while they're sitting at 35% capacity and kind of getting close to those numbers every single day, you don't need anything new to bring people back in.
No, in this blessing situation with the 50th, where it's kind of like, yes, they've had this lull because of COVID, the whole world, the entire travel industry worldwide has had a huge lull. But they've now got this golden goose that is the 50th for people to go, well, I want to just do a big trip. I want it to be special. I want something that's going to make me happy. I'm going to go to Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be...
It makes sense.
Yeah, there's going to be two lots of people, I reckon. You're going to have the people, number one, who just want to do something big. They've been saving up for ages. They're just going to go all out. And then you've got the other people who are like, I just want to get away from people. I want to go into nature. I want to escape from the world, and I don't want to come back for 2 months. I still don't know what camp I fit in. So
I think the interesting thing will be, we've heard so much, and so much has been going on at Walt Disney World has been in preparation for the 50th, which was meant to be this monster event. You've heard of people that we know and stuff like that who were saving up for the 50th. Like, this was the finish line. They might have saved up for 10 years. This might be their only Walt Disney World trip in their entire life, and the 50th was the beacon. If you look at what Disneyland did for the 50th, where it was like that worldwide celebration, there was new stuff at pretty much every resort around the world. They had a huge party within Disneyland Park and all of this. It looked, until the pandemic hit, like the 50th was going to be, if you're ever going to Walt Disney World, you need to come during the 50th anniversary celebration. Mm.
See, I sort of fall into that camp, and you're more than welcome to tell me I'm wrong here, but I think this provides a different perspective in which the celebrations, I know, are designed to get people through the door. That's just why they exist in the first place. But the thing about theme parks is that you've got the merchandise and the food and the limited time entertainment, but a lot of that is going to continue on after the celebration. Like, you'll lose some of the, you know, very unique experiences, the advertisements and the banners around the parks and things like that, and the exclusive merchandise. But if you were to go, say, in the quiet period just after the 50th, you'd still be able to experience everything that it brought, because they're not going to open up Tron for a year and or 18 months and then go, all right, shut it down, this 50th is over.
What I'm assuming... That period, though, would be what I'm assuming is probably the worst time ever to visit, because there'd be 18 months worth of refurbishments that would probably all hit on the same day. Because if they're expecting the huge crowds, they'll go, oh, we can't.
Well, I think if you time it well, if you were to like pick that golden zone.
It's interesting, because one of my favorite trips ever to Disneyland was during their 60th anniversary. And my favorite trip to Tokyo Disney was during their 35th anniversary, which I'm not sure if it is the anniversaries. It's just the trips themselves, what they meant to me, those sort of things.
This is like, but just me getting flexed on, like, right now.
Like, those are the ones, you know. So I'm not sure if it is the celebration, though, because like Disneyland 60th World of Color, I don't like as much as the normal World of Color and stuff like that. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see. So what we do know, Ratatouille will open, and rumored is Harmonious, which is the new nighttime celebration on the World Showcase Lagoon, will open sometime before that October 1st. Rumor is around summer, which makes sense.
And should stick around for about 20 years, considering that Illuminations was around for 2 decades.
Unless it's Rivers of Light 2.0. What did that run for? About 3 years at Animal Kingdom and has now been officially closed without replacement?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Yeah, that's probably apparently why it's closed. Yeah. But this show is looking to be like a celebration of music around the Disney music around the world, which sounds like the most thin through line they could find to figure out how you can put just a cliche Disney character show in World Showcase at Epcot.
Look, I've heard how they've advertised this, and they're like, it is the inspiration that Disney music brings to the world. And I'm like, I get it. But so far, all I've heard is a whole new world. And Disney love a whole new world for their nighttime theatricals. Yeah. Like,
I think the one concept art has Coco in it.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely going
they put
to try
in just because they're like, Mexico, that's the one World Showcase pavilion that's going to actually be relevant to the show. Put it in the promotional art.
I can call it now. You're going to have songs from Ratatouille. You're going to have songs from Aladdin for the Morocco Pavilion. Yeah. You're going to have some songs from Mary Poppins for the English Pavilion.
One of those British. Mexico, Frozen, they'll try to use for Scandinavia, for Norway, sorry. What else? Germany, Pinocchio maybe? I think that's the only thing I can think of.
And I think they're going to try and go around and try and give each area sort of its own unique song. But in that same sense, it does kind of feel wrong that they're using these songs that were made by US-based artists and producers to advertise different countries around the world. Like, I get that they're inspired, but at the same time, I don't know. It just feels a little bit dirty.
I guess we'll wait and see how the show is. One thing I do know negatively, the show's going to look disgustingly ugly through the day. We've just seen one of the barges put out on World Showcase Lagoon. It looks like a giant taco, number one. And they're just going to permanently be stationed in the middle. So there'll be four giant tacos sitting in the middle of World Showcase for the rest of time, essentially.
Look, the Mexico Pavilion is about to see this huge uptake in people buying tacos, and no one's going to know why. They're going to be like, oh, man, I want a taco.
Right. I think the most interesting thing about this show is originally it was rumored to be called Illuminations Harmonious, which I wonder if it was another one like what you were saying, where they're like, they're just trying to tie it into the park. And somebody went, no, this is just pandering at this stage. Yeah. We're going down a different route for Epcot. And Illuminations, whichever you want to call it, has run its time now, which is a shame. Because, I don't have huge hopes. Ratatouille looks good. It looks like it fits better in that pavilion than, say, Frozen does in Norway.
That's the new ride coming to the France Pavilion, Ratatouille.
Yeah, so Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, that new trackless dark ride, which doesn't look as good as any of the other trackless dark rides, maybe one of Disney's worst, just based off reviews and stuff, but still a trackless dark ride for Epcot. It should do well.
I've heard from a lot of people, like, my only opinion on that ride is from a POV, so just looking at it on YouTube, and I've heard from a lot of people who said it's much better in person. Like, you can sort of, the effects work. There's this really cool, like, I won't spoil it, but there's this point where you're like under an oven because you're the size of a mouse the oven turns on above you and you get the heat and stuff like that. So it's cool things like that, that you can't really appreciate through the visual medium.
So a few things that I'm not sure are going to open in time for the 50th, but I want to just quickly mention them, are Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind coming to Epcot. Apparently the ride is progressing, but they can't film the required movie components because there were Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was meant to be filming and it got postponed because of the pandemic. So apparently the ride is awaiting the actual actors to film their sections before they can go any further. So depending if Hollywood ever reopens, could be when this ride opens.
Well, thankfully the stars have aligned in a way that at the end of the last Avengers film, I think it is, Thor went away with the Guardians. Thor is being filmed, like the new Thor movie, Thor Love and Thunder, is being filmed in Australia. And what they've done is they have to have that section with the Guardians at the start. And they're like, let's just film it then. Just pull them all aside, film it then. Grab an iPhone if you can and just...
Hopefully it works. I mean, I'm not super excited or not excited for that ride. I'm a little bit indifferent, but I'm hoping that it blows me away. It seems a little bit forced again to be like Guardians of the Galaxy and Epcot, but... Peter Quill, he went to Epcot when he was a little kid. Phew, now it fits in. Like, that's the way they're trying to tie it into the park.
the Chapek era, like Bob Chapek, the new CEO of Disney, he is a brave man. He's just taking on everyone. He's taking on Epcot purists, Disney World purists. He's taking on just anyone he can. Even Galaxy's Edge opened as this, like, this is part of Star Wars canon. This is its own unique experience that if you want to experience it, you have to come to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. He's just stormed into the room, full on, like, dropped, kicked the door. It's knocked over a board member, and he's like, I'm taking that out. He's like walking in with Mandalorian, the child, and that. He's like, we're invading bloody Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, and he can't stop me. And then he just walks out. And they're all like,
Galaxy's Edge merch is now in Shop Disney. Mandalorian and Baby Yoda, that's the new land. Go do it. See ya. I'm going to go retire with my $50 squillion I make a year.
You could imagine, like, did he... Was he one of those guys who's like, I just started serving ice creams in the theme parks?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Was he brought in?
I think so.
I don't know anything about him. He's like the least interesting CEO.
I know a fair bit about like Iger and Eisner, but I really don't know anything about Chapek, which says a lot about my interest in the man.
Yeah, I just look. And my... Good on him. I'm not a CEO and he is, but
yeah,
the dude just
decisions.
Doesn't interest me. So...
No. Which, and the other one for the 50th that may or may not open in time, though, looking at what happened this week, would be Tron Light Cycle Power Run. But did you see the picture where the hole where you're meant to burst out of the building has just been boarded up in what looks like it's going to be there for a while? Like they've completely walled it off using the exact same wall the rest of the show building is in. So it looks like we might be waiting a while for Tron.
Though, would like, that it looks be like, a weather thing?
No, it'd just, like, if you were doing it for the weather until you got the, you know, the purse, that big canopy on, why would you do it so it blends perfectly in with the show building? Rumor is that ride, once it gets enclosed, it's just going to sit there until money starts flowing again. Don't know if that's true.
There is a rumor that with the new Tron stuff coming out, like there's some new Tron series. I'm struggling to keep up with all the Disney news at the moment because it's as if they've just gone, hey, look at all of these IPs.
You know, that thing you used to like? 27 new series about it.
I also, like, it's something I just want to quickly point out is that I think it's so cute that they think Jungle Cruise is going to be the next Pirates of the Caribbean. It's not. I think we can all accept right now that it's not.
I think it might be about the same size as the new Jumanji movies. I think it might do about as well as those.
Yeah, they've both got Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it. So,
if they're aiming for Pirates, they're going to be let down. But I feel it, you know, an adventure movie... It might do okay, but it
won't
do
back
Disney.
Eddie Murphy Haunted Mansion. I want the Eddie Murphy Expanded Universe.
There is meant to be a new Haunted Mansion film in development, but who
I
knows?
I feel like it'd be a better TV series.
Well, there was that Guillermo del Toro. He was attached to a Haunted Mansion film for a while there, which would have been interesting to see. But I believe he left the project and the remnants of what are still floating around, but. It'll be interesting to see because there was a while there where Disney was like, we need to make a movie out of everything. The Terrible Country Bears movie, go. Haunted Mansion with Eddie Murphy, go. Tower of Terror without Twilight Zone, go. And then they, like, as soon as Pirates did well, but now they're like, okay, pull back. Maybe it wasn't the fact it was based off a ride that was why it was a good movie.
And I, from what I've heard as well, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I always feel like they never expected Pirates of the Caribbean to do well. Like it was just that movie where they're like, Like, you know, it'll sell. Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. All right. So that's Disney. Disney's celebrating the 50th this year. Wrap it up in one sentence. What do you think when we come back to this next year? What's your predictions for Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary?
In one sentence.
I could probably say it in one word, and it's underwhelming. That's my prediction. But
I was going to say money, but mostly in terms of like, mostly Disney.
Upcharges?
Yeah, it's because if you think about it, they know that their upcharges are where their money's at, and also like their exclusive merchandise. I will not be surprised if they do rotating merchandise through the 50th. It's like, oh, if you come in the first month of the 50th, you've got that. I was here during the first month. It's like golden 50th Mickey ears. Then if you come in the second month, it's platinum sequin Mickey ears for the 50th. It is going to be jerseys,
ears, and everything as new series every month or something during the celebration.
You could even do different eras, like go through when attractions opened.
This is the 70s. This is the,
This is when we celebrated. Decades.
You could celebrate each for 3 months almost.
Yeah, you could even throw in like, oh, we're celebrating the, this is Animal Kingdom month. So it's all just Animal Kingdom stuff. Like, man, if you're listening, Disney, you've got an opportunity here to make bank.
Oh, I think they know what they're going to do. For me, it'll be interesting to see as well. We haven't seen the reintroduction of FastPass yet. We've seen the reintroduction of park hopping this month. So it'll be interesting to see if that sort of upcharge comes in during the 50th, like paid fast passes. They'll obviously be, you know, if Harmonious comes out, it'll be, oh, paid Harmonious dessert party. Rumor is Happily Ever After, we'll see like a new tagline for the 50th. It'll be paid dessert fireworks parties, all of these to get people in that once in a lifetime group who needs to do everything and wants to do it best. You've said it well. You can probably summarize it in one word, which is upcharge / expensive. I'm going to summarize it in one word, which is underwhelming. We'll come back and see how that holds up.
Underwhelming, expensive upcharge.
Woohoo. But we'll quickly wrap up Florida, because not wanting to be left out, the other big players in Florida have big attractions, hopefully opening this year as well.
Universal Studios is opening in Florida.
Yeah, there's a couple of little small ones you've probably never heard of.
You'd never guess from this podcast.
Universal, you might have heard of Universal. Probably not the other two.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So they want to open the Velocicoaster, which is a new multi-launch Intamin coaster opening up in the Jurassic Park section of the land, even though this attraction is themed to Jurassic World, which I really hope doesn't mean they're going to re-theme the Jurassic Park River Adventure to be more like the Jurassic World ride at Hollywood Universal.
No, I don't think they will. I think they know that Jurassic Park is iconic in itself. They don't really have to touch it. It's that thing where I think they were stuck between a rock and a hard place with Jurassic World, the version that opened at Hollywood as a plus one, which wasn't really a plus one. And a lot of people say it took more away.
Yeah.
But I think because they've got that rule where it's like, we have to open up a new attraction every year.
And they have like no land at Hollywood.
They have no space. And there's only so much Fast and Furious they can throw into that park before they run out of ideas.
One, apparently. This coaster, I was watching a POV of it earlier today. This looks really good. It looks to be, like, a lot of people when Hagrid opened were like, oh, well, this isn't for the thrill seekers, and Universal's meant to be the thrill seekers where Disney's the family. But this looks to be more thrilling. If anything, it might be a little short, but Orlando coasters generally are a little short. It's because it's more about getting the people through them. But I'm excited for this. What do you think? Like, Intamin multi-launches look great. All the ones that have opened so far. So I'm hoping this one is just the same.
Well, I think we're in a new era of roller coasters, and I think it's definitely catering to our generation, the generation who demand everything instantly. Look, I was looking at buying some stuff this week, and pretty much it came down to I'm going to pay $10 more because that means I can get it tomorrow compared to, you know,
Friday.
Yeah. So we are the generation where we just expect things instantly. This isn't something made up. This is true. It's instant gratification just from how we've been brought up with the internet. And like, if we want to know any information, it's not a matter of sourcing it. We literally just pull out our phone and go,
there's no conversation anymore that you can have. Oh, did you hear the story about blah, 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 blah? It's like, no, that's wrong. That didn't happen.
And I think in that sense, roller coasters and theme park attractions are starting to reflect that. And people don't necessarily want to wait on a, you know, minute 30 lift hill. A lot of roller coasters around the world are probably the same length. You're saying that like the length of Velocicoaster is like only 90 seconds. But I think if you were to factor in a lift hill, then it'd probably be the same as a lot of, you know, hypercoasters and that. But it's just that thing now where it's like, we're just getting straight into it. Here is the coaster.
Launch you up. There you go.
Like you get on, you get off. It's just all thrills all the time, which, I think it's a fair. It's just the way that it is. Like launch coasters, short lift hills, even like it's probably got to do a lot to do with throughput as well. But at the same time, I think there's that demand from the populace.
Yeah, which makes sense. I do love a launched coaster. I would honestly prefer a launched coaster to a lift hill coaster. Mm. So I can see why. This ride looks really good. The ride itself, what it does to the bigger park with sight lines and stuff like that, I'm a little bit iffy about. The fact that it's like, just enjoying my butterbeer at the Three Broomsticks. Ah, there's that dinosaur-themed roller coaster whizzing past the window again.
This was always the problem that theme parks have when they start to hit that, limited
critical
space.
Critical mass.
Yeah, because it's that thing where it's like, oh man, you've got all of this lake around Universal Studios, the park that the Velocicoaster is going in. What if we just put Islands a coaster on it? Like, it's going in Islands of Adventure?
Yeah. That's where the Jurassic Park theme land is at Orlando. Yeah.
I thought it was, but they've still they've both got lakes. So
yes, they're both set around water, which is interesting. I really love Islands of Adventure. It was kind of when I worked for Disney, it was kind of my escape park. When you work for Disney, when you're on Disney property, you're always kind of in the mind of a cast member. Where Islands of Adventure was that perfect park. It had some really great rides. A Hulk, Jurassic Park. I'm always a sucker for Poseidon's Fury. Even stuff like the Cat in the Hat area was fun. Grinchmas over Christmas was cool. So this, I honestly would say that Islands of Adventure is a better park in currently than some of the Disney parks. And with this opening, it's going to move up that little bit higher again, I feel like. It's definitely, in my opinion, the best non-Disney park in Orlando. It's probably in the top three, just overall theme parks in Orlando, which,
definitely
Universal. Good on you.
Which I've never been to. One day I will get there.
Maybe during the 50th. There you go. There's your excuse.
Hey!
Other two we'll quickly touch on. SeaWorld. Orlando's getting Icebreaker, a Premier Ride Skyrocket family coaster, which is one of those where it kind of like goes up a spike, launches you up the spike again, and then launches you into the layout. It's almost got a little boomerang bit at the start. It looks
if you imagine
fun. It's
like
a family coaster.
Constantly getting pushed.
A tech deck. Yeah. If you have like a tech deck, you're going up and down a ramp. And then over the top.
But like you keep on pushing it more and it gets more force. So it like goes back and forth until it eventually goes over the hill. It looks fun. Like something. Yeah,
it's a family ride. I'm not expecting huge things, but that park has some good thrill rides anyway. So it doesn't necessarily need another thrilling coaster.
No, I do love
fit in really
how,
well.
Like a launch coaster of that form nowadays is a family coaster, whereas if you put that in a theme park 20 years ago, it would be like the ultimate thrill ride worldwide.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. What it pretty much nowadays to me, it's like, it doesn't go upside down. Okay, it's a family coaster. Like it's below 50 meters and doesn't go upside down. Yep, that's family coaster, everyone. Yeah, it works. And then of course the ride that who knew if it was going to open ever with what went down this year, but Iron Gwazi, Busch Gardens Tampa, the world's fastest, steepest, and equal tallest hybrid roller coaster in the world, looks to be a spectacular ride. And at one point, SeaWorld didn't own it because RMC, the people who were building it, went, "You're not paying us. We own this coaster now, even though it's on your land."
Yeah, which is really odd to think, because what's their end game in that situation? Like, can they just
pick it up on the truck and just drive it off? Can they open it and charge their own admission price? Like,
yeah, they just have, you know, some guy there from RMC is like, hey, come on our coaster, it'll be $20. It's an upcharge. And just like make SeaWorld really angry to the point that they just buy it anyway. But that was at the point where their shares just absolutely tanked. Like, they lost billions.
They didn't have the money to pay for it. Like, I haven't checked SeaWorld shares in a while, but I know
they've stabilized.
Okay. And same with Six Flags. They've hit a stage where they just grind it at the bottom. Which, wait, did Six Flags do their famous What's New for 2021 video last year?
I'm not sure. Because they released a yearly video where they're like, this is everything that's coming to
Six Flags.
A Larson Looper.
In every park.
Pretty much.
I always love those videos. Even though there's never a ride announced that I want to ride. But hey, the guy's kind of fun. The guy, the like CEO of Six Flags who hosts it.
Yeah, I can't even think of
space or something.
Any Six Flags parks that are actually open?
I think some of the like more local ones did open this season. I know the California one opened for like a Christmas drive-through event where they had like Christmas lights and you like drove through the park in your car to look at them.
Whoa! I want to do that.
Which is kind of cool. Like, it's a cool way to get... I know like they did that... Knott's Berry Farm opened like the ghost town area for just like shopping and dining during the pandemic. And then DCA opened, California Adventure opened their like Buena Vista Street for the same, just for dining and shopping during the pandemic, which is a cool way to bring in some extra money. Shows them thinking outside the box at least.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity for them to make some more profit out of, you know, anything's better than nothing.
Than stamping your feet and saying, oh, let us open, please.
Or the Floridian-based theme park people.
Yeah, talking of California, let's have a quick chat about what California. Pretty much everything.
There are lots of theme parks there.
Yeah, pretty much everything we're going to touch on here was originally meant to open in 2020, but with theme parks completely closed since like April there with no current, you know, it's not even you could be like, oh, they'll be open, you know, in a month or two. It could be the end of the year, you know, summer towards the end of the year at this point, if they're sticking to those tiers of what they need.
Yeah. So
who knows if these will open this year, but they were pretty much ready to open last year. So Disney's California Adventure will open Disney's first official Marvel Land, which they've done, you know, an attraction here or there, but this will be it, which is Avengers Campus. Sorry, it's called. So they'll have Avengers Campus. This will be the California version. They'll have Avengers Campus Hong Kong, and they'll have Avengers Campus Paris, ultimately, at the end. So what will open with this? Guardians of the Galaxy will essentially be absorbed into this new land, rather than being awkwardly part of Hollywood Land, which didn't make sense anyway.
Yeah.
Not that I think that this is going to fix the thematic issues of a giant metallic structure, because where is Avengers Campus set? Why is it like a... Because the rest of it just looks like a street, like an LA street. And then there's this alien spaceship looking like thing at the end of it.
Look, it's in a portal. Look, I don't think Disney really cares that much anymore. Let's be honest.
Yeah, your inner portal was more thought than Disney's put into how thematically that park works anymore. So good job.
Well, you can go that thing where it's like, oh, what happened with the Tower of Terror? The reason why it's in Hollywood is because in 1,000 years' time, space comes to Earth and there are aliens everywhere and the warehouse owner guy, he takes over the Tower of Terror, but he wanted to collect things from the Hollywood Times. So he built a big time machine that enclosed the whole building and sent himself back in time. And that's why the Tower of Terror is in, well, not the Tower of Terror, Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout is in Hollywood. There we go. Wow. Disney, I'll pick up my check in 3 days.
Which doesn't make sense because they're going to open up Avengers Campus anyway. You should have told them that, you know, 4 years ago. And they would have.
Damn it.
Gosh, you missed it. But opening up in this land will be a Ant-Man themed dining location, which is all about like, you know how they make things bigger and smaller in Ant-Man? They're going to make like certain foods bigger, certain foods smaller, stuff like that, which would be interesting. I think it has a bar in it as well. So that's all I need to hear. Best land in the world.
All drinks are tiny, but real regular drink price.
$13 for a shot of beer. It's themed.
It's thematically appropriate.
They're also going to have a Doctor Strange stage show, which apparently the tech for this will be pretty cool. They'll be like for able to like open portals in midair or something like that. That's what I've heard. Don't know if it'll work. There's a few patents out there for how it might work. So it'll be interesting to see. And of course, you can't have a new land without a new attraction. The best named ride of all time. The second best coming in after Pixar Pal Around, the Ferris wheel at Disney's California Adventure. Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure, which is
beautiful.
The worst name. Which
it's, no, it's it straight name, out tells you exactly you what you're getting.
That's it. Now that's all you get.
They could easily call it Spider-Man Adventure, but
or just Web
or
Slingers.
Even just Web Slingers. Like people know that it's Spider-Man, but I guess it's that thing that they want it to be. Like if you're ever looking up Spider-Man on YouTube or on Google or something, like Spider-Man they want to try and ride. Hit those SEO targets.
Do you reckon it has anything to do with the fact that there already is a Spider-Man ride in the world, and it's one
which
of
is just
the
called
most
the Amazing
Adventures of Spider-Man, and it's one of the most renowned and you know celebrated theme park attractions in the world, where Disney's new, it's just a, you know, an interactive shooter ride where you'd like fling your hand to make it look like you're shooting webs and you'll shoot webs on screens. Disney knows that's not going to be the best Spider-Man attraction in the world. So I do wonder if they've added that in there just in the small hope of being like, okay, this is our version.
They are also taking a huge gamble with that technology as well, because immersion-wise, if you're there flinging your arms about, because it's essentially like you fling your arms at the screen and you shoot webs at things. If that doesn't work, if you're like throwing it about and it just, you know, it misses a couple or it's going in the opposite direction and that, it's going to be a bad experience. And you're going to be like, well, that was a waste of time. So I imagine that it must be that thing that it's a dark ride first, with interactive elements second. Like, I don't think it's going to be point-based or anything, but...
No, from what it looks like, from the blueprints that came out of the Paris version of the ride, because they have to submit public blueprints for any expansions, it just looks like Toy Story Midway Mania. There's, like, no show scene. There's no room for show scenes. It's just screens. Screens.
There might be, really a show scene,
a pre-show, and then, like, as you exit the station, there's, like, a scene, and maybe as you come back in. But the rest, it's pretty much walls of screens.
That sucks.
So temper your expectations, ladies and gentlemen. The name might be the best part of the attraction. But they also have the Stunt-tronics. Do you remember those? They're like the animatronics that can fly through the air. Those are rumored to open with the land, and Spider-Man will essentially like swing above the buildings like on a web. So that should be cool.
That is super cool.
I'm just the land. Yeah, it will only happen for about a year, and then it will get cancelled.
Oh, 100%.
Never be seen again, because that sounds expensive. That technology,
or is it just that thing where they'll do it maybe at the opening, and then or like for a couple of days, because they built those
TIE fighters,
like huge TIE fighter drones for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Use them once, and then that's it.
Well, apparently they didn't even look good in person. They looked like good in the POV, the recorded live streamed video. But in person, people were like, it looked like a tiny speck in midair that just sat there, you know, exactly like TIE fighters and X-Wings don't.
Yeah. See, yeah. It'd be cool if that was just floating around the land, but I would imagine that there are safety reasons that you can't have an automated drone flying around above Guess.
Well, they had to apply for their an exemption to the no-fly area or something, didn't they?
Or was that for the dragon? No-fly zone. That's the dragon.
Do you remember the dragon? Yeah, the
Magic
new
Kingdom?
Fantasyland dragon, which was used once. That was bizarre. And if you
wasn't
haven't
even
seen
announced.
It, look it up.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Everyone thought it was going to be for Pandora because it did look like a banshee. No, it was just flying above the Magic Kingdom to advertise New Fantasyland, even though New Fantasyland has nothing to do with dragons.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah. But we'll quickly, just the last two in California. Knott's Berry Farm's going to celebrate their 100th anniversary, which was actually last year, so I'm not sure how. But they're hopefully going to be able to celebrate their 100th anniversary with a brand new Knott's Berry Tales Return to the Fair, which Knott's Berry Tales used to be like a classic dark ride, where this is a
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Ride.
Oh!
Yeah. No, this new version is going to be an interactive shooter ride. So there was Voyage to the Iron Reef, which was a shooter attraction. From what I understand, they've just left all the screens in, changed the theming, and hey, we got a new ride now. Like, changed the videos. So yeah, and
how whelming.
The 100th anniversary. Woohoo! And then Universal Hollywood is opening up an attraction that I think looks pretty good and unique for that park. Secret Life of Pets Off the Leash, which is a dark ride, and it has like over 100 different animatronics in it, which whilst I'm not a huge fan of Secret Life of Pets, the fact that they've put so many animatronics, it's an omni-mover, family-friendly dark ride. It's really something that park has been lacking. They don't have any true traditional dark ride since they lost E.T. Adventure. So I think this is going to fill a nice void.
Yeah, 100%. I reckon that's going to be a really good addition. It's not going to be like something that will bring you to the park, I feel, but it's something that is a very welcome addition to its lineup.
And it's added to like what has become a little illumination area. It's going to be right across from Despicable Me Minion Mayhem. It's also right across from the Walking Dead horror walkthrough attraction, but I think that's closing because of that. We've talked about the US. What are you most excited for coming to the US, hopefully next year?
Look, I'd just be excited to go there, go to a theme park at this point. I have gotten into...
I'll ride Spider-Man's web-slinging adventure all day if it means I get to step foot in a theme park.
Disney, call me up. I'll happily beta test that. You can use my web-slinging arms to calibrate the machines. Hit me up just so I can spend some time in DCA.
Anything.
I don't know. It's sort of the thing I'm looking forward to the most out of all of that. I think the sleeping giant in there is Iron Gwazi. Because I just reckon that'll be a spectacular coaster. And I haven't ever ridden anything like that. So if I had the opportunity to, that'd be super cool. But I'm kind of interested to see how Harmonious comes along. I know this
it's
is
definitely the most intriguing. You pretty much know how everything else is going to turn out that's coming to Orlando next year. But Harmonious is the big wild card in it all.
See, that's the interesting thing about the 50th for Walt Disney World is that there's nothing necessarily in there, well, that's going to be coming out during the 50th that is solely original. Even Guardians of the Galaxy, that's probably the most original thing, and that's been pushed back until 2023 or whatever it was.
Yeah, unofficially at this point, which, hey, that's apparently when it's meant to end, the 50th. It might be the big last month celebration. For me,
yeah, true.
For the US, I actually think it's just going to be Orlando as a whole, because every major park in Orlando, every major resort at least, is getting something new, and pretty much all of them are exciting. I mean, I haven't been to Orlando since 2015, and even if I got back this year, there's been so much added in the last 6 years. I haven't experienced Pandora, the World of Avatar. I haven't experienced, some of the new attractions at Universal Studios like Kong and stuff like that. So just to go, you know, Orlando, to go and now to know that at the end of next year, there should be new attractions again. And most of them didn't replace anything. They're completely new, original attractions that add something new to a park. So yeah, I'm excited for that. Eventually, who knows when we'll be able to get back. 18 months, maybe for the last week of the 50th anniversary in 2023, we'll be able to go back to the United States from Australia. But who knows? Who knows?
It'd be nice.
All right. This episode has gotten way bigger than we ever expected it to be.
Ooh,
we're
yeah.
almost an hour in and we've only talked about the United States. We had plans to talk about other stuff as well, but rather than being a 2-hour podcast, we're going to push that to next week. So next week's episode, we're going to take a look at the new expansions that are coming to Asia, including Super Nintendo World, which looks spectacular, as well as a number of brand new theme parks that should be opening next year. And then we're going to bring it a little closer to home. We'll talk about things that are opening in Australia, which for us, 2021 may be the best year to be an Australian theme park enthusiast ever.
Oh, 100%.
Goes to plan. So
yeah.
That's,
and it's not just Queensland this time. It's a, yeah, hey, people in New South Wales are actually getting something. And then after and that, I was just going to throw out that we'll go back to our traditional lineup after that of talking about, you know, attractions and theme parks. But we're so excited for the year to come that we just wanted to sort of get out our thoughts, have a chat about it.
Exactly.
I really want to do an episode on Luna Park Sydney coming up soon. So keep an eye out for that one.
Keep an eye out. So yeah, stay tuned for that. 2021, we've got our fingers crossed that it's going to be a good year. We hope wherever you are in the world, it's going to be a good year for you as well. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Review Time's Theme Park Cast, where we had a look not really at the things coming to the US, just the things coming to Orlando and the Southern California area. But there's a lot of exciting stuff that hopefully will open this year. Hopefully we're not sitting here in, you know, 11 and a bit months time going, well, nothing opened this year because COVID-20's here and has closed everything permanently. Hopefully we've got something positive to say. Any final thoughts, Dom?
I just think, yeah, this year, I was about to say next year, is looking to be an incredibly exciting year worldwide for theme parks. I think it's been that thing where it's long overdue for us to get out there and visit them, as well as I want to, you know, point out that things are looking up. Australia, well, more specifically Qantas, has started opening up bookings for international flights as of July. From what I've heard, Australia is on track to have a vaccine approved by the end of January or early February. That's the latest stats that have come out from the Prime Minister today. So who knows? We might be able to start getting some reviews in there.
We might see you wherever you are in the world by the end of the year. Who knows? Hopefully something's going to change. Enjoy whatever it is. Make the most of 2021 wherever you are. Thanks for listening to the show. If you want to get in contact with us, you can get in contact with me at Review Time Luke on Twitter.
I'm at Review Time Dom on Twitter.
You get in touch with both of us at Time Review. One day we will get at Review Time back from the depths of forgotten password land. Or you can get it pretty much anywhere else if you want to get in touch with us. Go ahead. We're at Time Review. At Review Time pretty much everywhere else. Even I'm getting confused.
Yeah, that's going to do it for this Twitter makes week. It interesting.
We will see you next week for part two of 2021 plans. See ya.
See ya.
The Review Time podcast is brought to you by Luke Carroll and Dominic Lacey. We are edited gratefully by Luke Shacatano. A big shout out goes to our Patreons, Jake Cool, Jay McRoberts, Jeremy Koufakis, Louis Najira, Peter Matthews, Ruben Mays, Luke Shacatano, Ray Dredge, John Madison, Michael Pinn, Janine Kerr, CG Lemonade, Tim Descenzo, Josie McDougall, Stephen Schrock, Matt Sakal, Norman Lacey, Sincerely Mac, Bobby McDougall, and to you, the listener. The Review Time podcast will be back next week.